We just thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, with our tithes and our offerings, Lord. And so I pray for that, Lord. I just pray that we use our gifts for your glory. I pray for those that cannot make it to church for their reasons, Lord, that you might minister to them and to bless them. And I pray, Lord, I think of Kathy and Terry Anderson, Lord, and pray that you might keep them safe. I pray a special blessing for them, a special blessing for Todd, that his back is starting to bother him again, and he's going through so many struggles with his health issues. I pray for his healing. I pray for the Hanlons, Lord, as they're moving in their transition. They have gone through so much. And I pray, Lord, that you might just bless them. I pray for a blessing for Mary Lee, Lord. You just minister to her, Lord, in her afflictions. I pray, Father, for their move, moving their livestock, everything, Lord. This has been a very difficult period for them. But they're remaining steadfast in you. And for that, we give you praise and glory. I think of Fran and her health, Lord. I pray, continue to pray, blessings for her. And for those, Lord, that I've missed, Lord, you know what their needs are. You know them, Lord, what their needs are. I pray for all who are hurting, Lord, that you might just minister to them through the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. I also pray, Lord, that you might use me as your instrument today to proclaim your word to your people, Lord, that you placed upon my heart. I pray, Lord, you give me the words to say and to do it with sensitivity and with conviction, Lord, that you anoint me through your word to bring this message to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. How many people need a picker-upper? How many people are just kind of down for whatever the reasons and just need a shot in the arm? Always. Well, I do. I'm sure that Luke does. Now, I'm not going to pick on Luke. This message is not centered on Luke. But I just want to share a few things with you about struggles. And Luke, I'm sorry. I don't mean you can talk to me after the service is over. But Luke had 4 wisdom teeth pulled this week. I thought about that, especially this morning when I saw him walk in. I thought, wow, first I didn't know whether to cry, you know, that you're here, or for him, for the pain, because anybody's had the wisdom teeth pulled, we all know how that feels. He had 4. I don't care if you're 14, 18, 21, or 35, 40, it hurts. It hurts. Struggles that we have. So Luke is probably struggling this week. How about the rest of us? If you're struggling this week for anything, it's going on in your family, whatever. I was mowing my yard Friday, just minding my own business, doing my own thing. I had my riding mower and everything was cool. All of a sudden, I heard a clank in the engine. I thought, that's interesting. I never heard that before. And about 2 minutes later, at best, it was like looks like somebody took a cannonball and shot it into my engine, and it just stopped just like that. Struggle, we all do. I thought, how am I going to mow the yard? Poor me. You know? And so I called, I needed a deliverance, as Luke needs a deliverance from the pain. And I said, God, I need a deliverance here. I need something. I need help because this thing is down. I had called Jan out. We moved it back into the garage or whatever. I have a friend of mine who is a mechanic. Praise God for him because he delivered me. He came over. The good news is he's going to take care of it. The bad news is I need a new engine. Struggles. Don't we all struggle? That seems to be part of our way of life. For the farmer, the grain farmer in the Midwest, deliverance from a long, hot, dry summer comes when a nice, steady rain soaks the thirsty crops. It is true. One out of one struggles in this life, and deliverance from whatever trials we are going through are always welcome. Because they give us relief. We want relief from our struggles. We all do. And we seek different ways to find that relief. In Romans 5, 6 through 8, Paul talks about the amazing delivering power of the cross. He said, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Jesus died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, God died for us. In God's perfect timing, Jesus rescued and delivered us, weak, powerless, selfish, and sinful people, because he loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter what we're doing, he loves us, or what we're thinking, he still loves us unconditionally. And sometimes we don't feel God's unconditional love, do we? But it doesn't matter what we are going through, all the trials, all the stuff, love is always there, because love conquers all. Love is all, no matter what. When we were on vacation here a couple of weeks ago, my one granddaughter asked if her boyfriend could come along. We said, of course. So, and he's an outstanding young Christian man from my seat, you know, as I see him. And when the week was over, Leah asked her boyfriend, well, what'd you think? And there was 15 of us gathered together in this place, and he was amazed, it's not because we were so good, it's because God is just, I must say this, not a perfect family, but a family that loves the Lord. And he said, what I saw for that week was I saw how you people showed the love of Christ, and you demonstrated that to me. Though sinful people, but we still demonstrated the love of Christ for him, because that is so important. Jesus is a perfect example of how to express love. If you have a difficulty loving someone and you're ticked off at someone, then ask Jesus to help you love that person. And sometimes we cannot love on our own strength. There are times I've had to say, when I've been irritated with people, God, help me love that person through Jesus' love. And he will do that because that's who he is. And verse 8 confirms, by dying on the cross for us and our sins. So I'm going to share, that's just an intro. I want to share 4 nuggets with you. Now, I just talked about Jesus' love, right? Now we're going to talk about God's wrath is real. So we go from love to God's wrath. Romans 1, 18 through 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them. Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without what? Excuse. We have no excuse. Not one person on this planet has an excuse. Getting back to, we were in the mountains, the Smoky Mountains. Beautiful. So we had this lodge. Picture this. We had this lodge up in the mountains, and we had this one huge deck for viewing. So we had the swing, the deck, so we'd all take our turns going out. We'd do fellowship out there, just talk. So one morning, I had the opportunity. My grandson Jake was out there, and he was doing his devotionals, what have you. So I plopped down, and I thought, well, this might be a moment for me to talk to my son about the Lord, my grandson about the Lord. And so I did. I looked out. I said, Jake, I said, take a look at all, you know, the mountains and everything. I said, and isn't it amazing how God created all of this? I said, God has given us what they call a general revelation of his creation to us, to, you know, to let us know that through our minds or whatever, that this was not made by chance, but is made by a creator. And so we talked a little bit about that. We talked about what I call special revelation in Christ, so on and so forth. God has revealed himself in many ways through creation and in our conscience. And then if you look at verses 19 and 20, his signs are everywhere. So God has given us signs everywhere, so none of us can stand before the Lord with an excuse. We can't say it. We can't stand before the Lord, anyone, in the great white judgment throne, and people say, what'd you do with me? Jesus said, what did you do with me? Oh, but Lord, I trusted you. No, you didn't. You have no excuse. You denied me. What about you? See, we have no excuse. Some people say, well, God wouldn't allow hell. Are you kidding me? It's in the Bible. God is a righteous God. He expects righteousness. He wants us to grow in righteousness. He's given us every opportunity to know him as our Lord, our God, our Creator. I'm just saying that one day there are going to be people say, well, God's going to say, they're going to say, well, listen, I went to church now and then, but did you listen to the pastor? Did you listen to his words? That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. And sometimes we want to fluff and puff the faith and not talk about these things. That's going to be tough because then there's no turning back. That's why it's so important for all of us to be evangelists in some way, shape, or form as God gives us gifts. We're called to do that because one day there will be a reckoning. And the way things are going in this world, well, you know, I don't know what you think, but it makes you wonder, doesn't it? One day there will be a reckoning. If you look at Romans 1 and you continue reading through Romans, I'm just going to give you little snapshots here of little pockets of Scripture and just a little thought from each one. Verses 21 and 23 talks about foolish thinking has turned people from God. Sound familiar? Verses 24 and 25, depraved people have replaced God's truth for lies. Does that sound familiar? Verses 26 through 37, they knew God, but then rejected him. Sometimes God makes us pay the consequences of sin. I believe God is warning our country, our nation today. He's warning our nation today. Abortion, greed, infidelity, deception, lying, cheating, ignoring, disobeying God and others are all consequences of sin running wild in our society. How can we not see it? Or am I just naive? I had a friend of mine said, I refuse to listen or watch the news anymore because I get so depressed. It is depressing. But it, to me, it's so clear and so obvious. And God, I believe right now, is saying, go. You just do what you want to do for a while. For a while. Number two, repentance. Always good news. Jesus' intervention. 1 John 1, 9 and 10. We've heard it many times. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we have made him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our hearts. When we confess our sins, we are in agreement with God. Yes, God, we blew it. When I sin, I know it. I say, God, I blew it. John reminds us, confession restores our fellowship in Jesus Christ. Jesus cleans the slate. When we bring our sins to the cross and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he forgives and intervenes for us. To deny is to reject God and his truth. To deny is to reject his mercy, his grace, his righteousness, his justice. And to deny is to call God a liar. I'm not ready and willing to call God a liar. But when we deny him, we're calling him a liar, because we're saying all those promises in your word, they're lies, they're not true. So we have a choice. Are we going to follow the truth, or are we going to follow the liar? And the liar is always there trying to probe us and trying to change our thoughts on God. That's what he does. Number three, the lordship of Jesus, Romans 10, 12 through 13. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean to you? He talked about same Lord, Gentile, Jew, doesn't matter. How many times have I heard, maybe you have, people say, well, I've heard some blacks say, well, you know, I worship a black Jesus, you know. Or somebody said, well, my Jesus is my nationality. That is garbage theology. Jesus Christ was a Jew. Jesus Christ died for the world. We can't make him to be something he is not. What's the problem with worshiping? I'm not a Jew. What am I? I'm a Gentile. You're Gentiles. He loves us. He's the same. It doesn't matter. Does that make any sense to you? You know, the meaning of Lord, I think, is very interesting, because the Lord means to have power or authority over others. A ruler to whom service and obedience are expected. That's the definition of Lord. Now, you go back into the Roman days, in the biblical days, the Romans tried to coerce, I always put the H in there, the Roman Christians to declare Caesar as supreme ruler and authority over all, even Jesus' lordship. Because they were serving many masters, money, power, you name it, they were doing it. If you were a real staunch believer in Jesus in the day of Romans, you would not deny your Lord. But by not denying Jesus and proclaiming him as Lord, you risked being thrown to the lions and the lions having you for lunch. Listen, Jesus has zero inclination for sharing his divine lordship with any person, any group, any government, any religion. For Jesus Christ is Lord alone. Jesus is the boss. Jesus is the man, if you will. Jesus is the one who gives the orders. Jesus is the one that we are called to acknowledge above all else. Above all else. Ask yourself this question. Do you love Jesus more than you love your family? You might say, that man, that's a very unfair question. Above all else. Remember, I think it was in John 21, 15 through 20, whatever. Jesus, you know, he was resurrected. So he's with his disciples on the beach. They're probably having a cookout on that beach. And Jesus, being the master psychologist, knew that Peter was hurting. Can't you imagine the group of them and Peter's trying to hide behind John or someone because he denied Jesus how many times? 3 times. But Jesus was intentional. He said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter answered and said, yes. Then what did Jesus say? Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? The second time. Peter answered. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Number 3. Peter, do you love me? He answered, feed my sheep. What a master. Jesus was trying to build the guy up. One of the trying to say, everything's cool, everything is all right. The key here is, are we willing? The test is, if we say that we love Jesus Christ, are we willing to serve him? Are we willing to serve Christ when it's inconvenient for us? Are we willing to do that? Sometimes we do. Probably sometimes we don't. And it can come at different ways. I'm not necessarily talking about serving on the board in a church. I'm talking about everyday life in your church and outside of your church, serving others as Christ has called you to serve. Are you feeding your sheep? Are you ministering to people that need to hear about Christ? Are you following him? Are you putting him Lord over all things? See what I'm saying? It happens. I'm sure it happens to you guys all the time because it happens to me. I'll get a call from someone and I say, oh, that's the last person I want to talk to. And that happened to me this week. I got a call from, I haven't heard this from this person for years. I thought, really? Because that was my heart. That was my heart. That was Satan in me talking. He said, really? You don't need to talk to him. But I did. Not because I'm so good. It's because that's what Christ requires me to do and filled me for love for this person. See what I'm saying? God has called us. He's challenged us to serve him. Again, the problem is this. Many people want a Savior, but they don't want Jesus interfering in their lives. They want a Savior, but they don't want to follow Christ every day. They want a Savior, but they don't want to put in the sacrifice to follow him every day. But they want a Savior. So they want Jesus on their terms. That's not how it works. Amen? It's not how it works. Finally, standing with Jesus. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has raised us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. Paul was now a prisoner in Rome when he said, "Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner." According to Paul, our suffering goes along with being a Christian, trying to live the holy life. Let me just say this. God's power will strengthen and bless us if we are not ashamed to proclaim Jesus as Lord through our words and our actions. That is so important, our words and actions. I've heard many pastors through the years. I've heard great sermons. I've heard the words, I've heard the Bible preached before you guys were even born, most of you. But I'll be honest with you. Some people are just naturally gifted in public speaking. And they can share the words, and they sound so great. They sound, you say, "Amen, amen, 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 amen." Absolutely outstanding. But they live their lives to the contrary. That just blows the Bible out of the water. It's about our words and our actions going together, working together. That's what makes the difference in the faith. I'll be honest with you, I walk away from the phonies. That bothers me. If I hear someone giving the word and I know who they are, I know I'm not judging them, I'm just judging their actions, that is a big turnoff for me. I'd rather have somebody stumbling over a word, stumbling over a passage, but I know their heart. I know their heart is with Jesus. Do you think all of those apostles or disciples were eloquent speakers? They were not. Paul was. But they had passion for their Lord. And when Jesus came into their lives, he changed them. He revolutionized them. He transformed them into who they were. Jesus used them, warts and all. He gave them individual talents as he's given us to use our talents for his glory. We need each other. I can give you something with the talents God has given me, and you can give me something, the talents God has given you and your brother and your sister. That's how churches grow. And sometimes life just stinks. It just does. And we wonder, God, what's going on? But God is always there. Sometimes we go through those testing moments in life. And when God is saying, "I'm going to see what you're made of. I'm going to see what you're made of." You talk about the faith. You talk about all praying and praying for people and being kind. You talk about all these things. Now I'm going to put you through some paces. He does that. Quite frankly, if you think he doesn't, you're naive. God will test us. Look at Hebrews. Look at your own life. You've been tested time and time and time again. And sometimes the testing is big, and sometimes it could be something very little, something minute. But he tests. I have been tested so many times since we've been in this church. And I was tested again today. And God spoke to me as clear as Sue was singing. And God grabbed a hold of me and said, "What are you going to do? Are you going to stand for me? Or are you going to let the enemy overtake you? The choice is yours. What are you going to do?" I'm going to stand with Jesus. You know, I don't know where I'm at here. But you know, the longer I've been a Christian, the one thing I realize in my faith is how much I don't know. Because there's always so much more to learn. Jesus is always teaching his children, us, because we're worth it. When we're tested, that's praise God, because in God's eyes, we're worth it. He's trying to make us stronger in him. Amen? He's trying to do that. Now, in closing, now this might be just me. You can say, boy, Pastor's in kind of a cranky mood today. I'm really not. But this, in a church, in a community I was pastoring in, one of my colleagues was moving to another church. He had been in this church for 20-some years. He was kind of like, in this community, he was the man. I mean, he was the longest standing pastor in that whole community. So there was a big to-do and a nice going-away celebration or whatever. I go into the church, and what I see as I walk into the foyer, I see a huge, like those panels back there, one of them, oil painting of this pastor plastered on the wall in the foyer. Now, maybe I'm missing something, but that bothered me. That just bothered me. I can appreciate a person laboring in a church. I get that. I understand that. It's wonderful. Praise God for that. But it just did not set with me to see, as I walked in, the first thing I saw was this guy on the wall. Because we need to understand that all that we have, the gifts that God has given you, your finances, whatever it is, your family, all that you have has been given to you by God's grace. It's by God's grace. Everything. We should not be bragging when it all comes from God. Amen? See, it's humbling ourselves and making Jesus Christ our Lord in all of life. If we can do that and stay humble, God will bless. And God has a way that as Christians, when we get to think too much of ourselves, he's got a way of humbling us, doesn't he? I think all of us have really been walking with Christ, have been humbled from time to time. They have just a little reminder of who's the boss, and it's Jesus. And this communion that we're about to celebrate reminds us of that fact. It's a reminder that every time we partake of the bread and the cup, it's all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on that cross. We exist, we grow in faith, we're blessed, we're challenged, because Jesus Christ loves us and we love him. It's not a tiptoe through the tulips. In this world we'll have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. But Jesus did promise this. Whatever you're going through, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You probably heard that a million times. Well, this is a million and one. Because our memories are short. Sometimes we forget in the heat of battle some of these basic fundamental truths. Jesus said with this communion, he said, I don't want you to ever, ever forget what I've done for you. I don't want you to ever, ever forget the love I have for you. I don't want you to ever, ever forget the sacrifices I've made for you. I don't want you to ever, ever forget I did this all because I love you. I love you. And I want so desperately for all of you to one day be with me in paradise. Isn't that awesome? So when Jesus gathered his disciples, He was reminding them, really, of just what I shared with you, his purpose, why he came on this earth. So when he gathered his disciples in that upper room, after giving thanks to God, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said to them, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembering me." Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, as we gather for this communion, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you touch our hearts, that maybe for the first time we might see communion differently, that you'll give us a different mirror upon which to look through, a different filter. That we might draw closer and closer to you and to recognize that you did not have to die for us. You chose to die for us because of your love. You chose to go to the cross, to suffer and die. That was your choice for us, broken, weak, sinful people. And you tell us to eat and remember. Then Jesus took the cup after supper, poured, and said to his disciples, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembering me." Oh, Lord Jesus, I praise you and thank you so much. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood for us. You did it all. The suffering, the pain, the bleeding, to cleanse us and to forgive us. And what have you asked of us? To eat and to drink and to believe and to share and to serve. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. Now, Father, I pray that as we eat and as we drink, Jesus, that we'll feel your power and your presence, that we can drink your love and feel the nourishment of your love and your purpose for us. And love you and be grateful for what you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "Come, eat and drink in remembrance of me."